Lancaster Baptist Church podcast is designed to inspire you to love God, grow you in the knowledge of God's Word, and challenge you to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
I was told by the staff, Brother Christensen specifically, that on the summertime you all leave at 6 o'clock, so I've got 3 minutes. I want to hurry up and get this done. All the rest of the staff amened him when he said it, so I appreciate their support tonight. But on behalf of Dr. Chapel, I'm going to spend a little bit more time, and I want to share some thoughts tonight from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, wonderful passage of scripture. I'm not going to go into all of it. I'll probably share a few more thoughts about it at a staff conference there in August. But I want to give a little bit of thought to this passage of scripture. And I'm going to tell you what my title is that I'm preaching. Last November, my son invited me to preach for him there at the Fairfax Baptist Temple, which I always enjoy doing, kind of my home base there. And so my wife and I were up in the area there, and I preached, and I thought about just a couple of messages I wanted to preach were on my heart. So the title of my message on Sunday morning there was "The Message I Shouldn't Preach." That was my title, "The Message I Shouldn't Preach." It was about music, and I knew that I'd step on someone's toes, someone would disagree, and I knew it would just kind of cause a little stir in there, which I always like a little bit of that anyhow. It just kind of, you know, fortifies you somewhat. But then that night, after preaching the message I shouldn't preach, on Sunday night, I preached the message I couldn't preach when I was a pastor. And so I'm going to preach it now for the second time, the message I couldn't preach when I was a pastor for 35 years. But I'm going to preach it now, because now I'm free and loose. I can do what I want to do. And I'm going to preach it that way tonight. And the book of Ephesians chapter 4, would you mind standing with me one more time? And I'll read a few verses here in the scripture, and we'll get into our text. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. The Bible says in verse 11, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." That was one sentence I just read, and I want to share with you a few thoughts from that one sentence I just read. Father in heaven, thank you for our time together tonight. How we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful testimony of Lancaster Baptist Church, West Coast Baptist College, Dr. Paul Chapel. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful people here that he has the privilege of ministering to week by week. And I pray, Lord, your blessings upon him as he has a little bit of R&R during this vacation time. And may he come back refreshed and reinvigorated and ready to go, as I know he will. And I pray, Lord, you're blessed now the hearing of the Word of God. We know the devil works immediately trying to pick away the Word of God as it's sown, but I pray, Lord, that it might find good ground tonight as I preach your Word. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Tonight, as I preach on the message that I couldn't preach, don't get me wrong, but it's not that I wasn't able to. As a pastor, I just never felt comfortable and doing it. But now, again, that since I'm not a pastor anymore, I can just do what I want to do. And I enjoy that part of my life in ministry now. It's kind of like the book on humility that I tried to get Striving Together to publish, and they just couldn't get that 6-foot picture of me in it. And so it's still sitting over there in their office for some reason. They haven't gotten it yet. I will not approve it until the picture's in there. But it's kind of like one of those things, you know. It's like, I want to preach on how to be as humble as I am tonight. You know, well, you know, it's kind of tough as you're a pastor. Well, tonight, I want to preach a little bit about caring for a pastor from kind of your standpoint to my standpoint, as coming from a pastor, a former pastor for 35 years, to share some things with you. Because we realize from Scripture that God's the one who calls men out. God's the one who gave every man and woman in here tonight who is a Christian, and at least one spiritual gift for the work of the ministry. And so when a man is a pastor, it's not like, I think I choose to be a pastor. It's that God puts them in the position of being a pastor, equips the man to be a pastor, that he can come and use his gift leading a church family like Lancaster Baptist Church. So in our text, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:11 that God gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. A pastor teacher is kind of like a pastor hyphen teacher. It's one and the same man is talking about. The apostles and prophets, no longer in the church today. We know that. They were signed gifts. We don't have any more. Evangelists, as itinerant evangelists or as a church planting missionary evangelist that go out and start churches and plant churches, and pastors. And it's interesting, because God gave the same work to the evangelist as he gave to the pastor. And he gave the same work of the pastor, the same exact work, to the work of an evangelist. And he says that in verse 11 and verse 12, when he says, for the perfecting of the saints, and he has three prepositional phrases, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And he says, these evangelists and pastor teachers are for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's a job of a pastor to strengthen the church family, to edify them, to build them up in the holy faith, so that they in turn can go out and do that edifying work of the body of Christ and the work of the ministry that is there. That's the job of a pastor. In other words, the pastor, the pastoral staff, it's not their job to do all the work of the ministry. It's their job to train you to do the work of the ministry. And actually, it's interesting to me anyhow, but where the Bible has in verse 12, the three prepositions there, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ, and I'm fine just like it is. But it's interesting to me that in the Textus Receptus from which this Holy Scriptures was translated in the New Testament here, that it was the Holy Spirit used two different prepositions, not just one, as we have here in our Bible. This is fine. But the other one gives a little better understanding of it. And the first one was pros, and it was a word that's usually translated T-O in the Scripture. And it was pros eises. There was two, and then four. And it really gave the evangelists and pastors and teachers, look, to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So it's a pastor's job, and a pastoral staff's job is to teach and train the congregation to do the work of the ministry. That's why you have a discipleship program here. That's why you have a Sunday school classes here. And by the way, if you're not in a good Sunday school class, get in one. You've got outstanding men and women teaching the Word of God. As I enjoy listening this morning to Brother Furso and the end of Dr. R's teaching as well. Excellent teaching that you can hear from the Word of God in the Bible study class. It's not just because we're doing Sunday school, but the purpose of it is to train you how to have a better family and home life, how to be able to live for God, how to walk with the Lord. So I'm going to always be there in the Bible study time for Sunday school and the Wednesday night service and the Sunday night service as you are, so we can have the Word of God helping us. So these men, their job, the pastor's job, is to teach and train the congregation to do the work of the ministry and to edify the body of Christ, the local New Testament church. And then he says, we're doing that till, in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so he says, we keep on doing it. In other words, we've got a job to do until Jesus comes back again. And when he comes back, then we'll be finished. Then we'll have a mind like the Lord. Then I don't have to worry about learning. I will have that mind of Christ, and it will help me. It'll be a tremendous thing for all of us to be able to have. And then we Baptists preachers won't have to study anymore to prepare and preach our sermons, and that will be a blessing. But we'll know everything then, so you don't have to study and try to learn ourselves. I was thinking about preachers, and I remember a story I read one time about a Baptist preacher who had preached his sermon that Sunday morning, and he went out in the lobby of the church there, and I was just shaking hands and greeting people there, and as he was shaking hands with everyone, this little boy Johnny came up to him, and Johnny shook his hand, and when he did, the preacher felt something in his hand. He looked down, and it was some money. He said, "Oh, Johnny, hey, I don't want your money, son. I want you to keep it." Little Johnny responded and said, "No, Pastor, I want you to have it. I want to give it to you." And there was a long, pregnant pause, and Johnny said, "My daddy's always said you're one of the poorest preachers he's ever heard, and I want you to have this because I want to help you out." Well, you know what? Sometimes we are kind of poor preachers, and we need a little extra help from the stand, but he didn't quite understand exactly what was meant by that. But preachers sometimes take a little tough rap in some of the things that we do. And I know, as I think about ministry, what a privilege it's always been to be in the ministry and be a pastor. But I do know something about pastors. I know how we think. I know some of us anyhow, and I know a lot as the strangers we may seem sometimes. There's reason and rhyme as to why most of us as pastors do what we do. Not always understood, but what we do. I remember one time a little boy in our service came forward, and I just simply asked him what he was coming for. He said he'd just been saved. I said, "Oh, wonderful." And he was about 7 or 8 years old. I said, "Wonderful." I said, "Can you tell me how to go to heaven?" And so he explained that. I just wanted to make sure he knew, and he knew. And anyhow, he got baptized, and he went home, and they had dinner. And that night, the dad came coming down the aisle to see me. He said, he was laughing the whole way. He says, "Pastor, you'll never believe what happened at dinner table today." He said, "Our son," after you talked to him and baptized him, "our son came home and said, 'Dad, you'll never believe this, but do you know the pastor didn't even know how to go to heaven? He had to ask me how.'" You know, sometimes we get misunderstood, you know, and it doesn't always come across just right. But I want to share just a few things about, some thoughts about a relationship that all of us as pastors want with people. And the individual person sitting in the pew, responsibility and relationship to pastor. Here are just a few things and some verses that I want to take. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 1 with me for a moment. The book of 1 Timothy in chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, notice in chapter, I said 1, I meant chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. Notice what the Bible says in verse 17. "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine." Every pastor biblically is an elder. Now, we don't use the term elder in our fundamental independent Baptist churches. But the elder is that bishop, that worker there, the mature man, the guy helping out, the guy leading. He's a pastor. Every elder, every pastor is an elder. Not every elder is a pastor, I don't believe. But every elder is a pastor. And men on a ministerial staff are elders according to the scriptures and according to the word of God. "And let the elders," the Bible says, "that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine." I remind us that the pastor of a church is worthy of double honor and caring for him and interesting. And the idea there is the respect and appreciation for the man in his office. It's not just that we're trying to elevate a man up, but it's a person we genuinely respect as our pastor, and we honor him as our pastor. And the Bible says there, and especially part, the especially, it says, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. I don't mind telling you, but in my 35 years of pastoring the Fairfax Baptist Temple, the hardest thing I ever did was every week preparing 3 brand new messages and illustrations to teach and preach to the congregation of our church. You talking about hard work? That's hard work. Remember back in college days, and you had to give that 7-minute speech and it scared you to death and you worked on, studied extra hard and did it all and got up there, got nervous as anything, and you forgot half what you're going to say and you blurted out and got that anyhow for 7 minutes or 10 minutes. But you try 30 minutes or 40 minutes and three times in a week, and it's every week you're doing the same thing and working. I'm just simply saying, if you haven't done it lately, it's hard work. Sunday school teacher, as I said, you've got good Bible study teachers. I know, by the way, that I've heard a couple of men teach today, I know that takes time, it takes a life investment, and our whole life we're growing and learning the Word of God. And from the day you get saved and start learning God's Word, it starts compounding in your life. And then as a teacher or preacher, you can give it out. But it is hard work. And it's something you never see unless you happen to walk up in the office of the pastor as he is studying when he studies. And sometimes that's probably late at night, like it is with most of us, or early in the morning, or sometimes in the afternoon, or sometimes you just shut your door and you've got to prepare the message. But I'm simply saying, that's a lot. It takes an awful lot to do that. And we should honor our pastor for nothing else. But hey, and listen, it doesn't hurt. Every now and then, these men go overboard doing it. But it doesn't hurt in saying, hey, I really appreciated your message. Thank you, pastor, for that. Really spoke to my heart. I had one man, I could have preached on buttermilk, which I absolutely loathe. I think that's the word for hate. I mean, I can't stand the stuff. But no matter what I preached on, the man would come down the front or come wherever I was and come and say, hey, pastor, that was really great. I really appreciate that. And I know he was lying. I didn't care about him lying then. It was just kind of good, you know, a little bit. It just every now and then, I don't mean all the time. I just mean sometimes you could find something good. You could just say, thank you. It represents a lot of his time and studying and preparation and preparing for it. Worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word. Look over in 1 Thessalonians, the book of 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. Notice what he says in verse 12, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. When he says those that are over you, the word over is the ruler. It's the standing before someone is the idea of the original word that was there. And so he says we are to hold them, to esteem them. We're told to esteem the man of God for his work's sake. Most pastors carry a good bit of responsibility. And by the way, I might say, I forgot to check with Pastor Chapel to see if it's okay if I preach this message. So if it doesn't work out real well, and then like, please forgive me for not doing it just right. But I forgot to ask him, and I know he would not want me to preach it, but that's why I forgot to ask him. So anyhow, but a pastor does a lot of things. You know, he pastors, he cares for church, he has preaching, he has counseling, he administrates church and schools oftentimes, and he knows about finances, he knows about ladies in the nursery, he knows about Christian schools, how to work with staff and deacons and leading volunteers like the majority of you. He endures criticism that comes up, and some people think, oh, just a little bit here, a little bit there, and it comes out sometimes. I'll never forget one time I was staying in the lobby of the church, and after a church service, I preached my heart out, and a man came up to me, and a man now, he's not one of our preacher boys, but he happened to start some churches already and wonderfully used of God. But he came up to me and said, pastor, I need to ask you to forgive me of something. And I'm thinking, you haven't done anything to me. I said, what is it? He said, I've hated you for a long time. Would you please forgive me? Well, I hate you too. So I said, no, I didn't say that. I thought it, but I did not say that. I'm more mature than that. But I think, you know, sometimes you go through the criticism. You ever had anybody gossip about you? Hey, be a pastor. Do something for God. That's all you have to do. Do something for God. And I've always found out, as I've observed, people who talk about someone are those that aren't doing what the other guy is. You know, it's always those lesser that gossip and talk about those that are doing more, trying to pull them down to their level. It just doesn't work, particularly not when you're dealing with men of God. But a pastor has to lead in worship, and so we should be able to find something and a lot of things that you think about the man of God to esteem him, the Bible says, highly for his work's sake, for what God has done. All you have to do is look around and say, praise the Lord, and thank the Lord for something like that and for what the Lord has done as well. So, and don't get me wrong, pastors are not celebrities. They're not a somebody who should be put up on a pedestal. That's not what the Bible's talking about, and that's not, I know, it's not what your pastor would even care for. But the Bible simply says that we should esteem them highly. Consider them men of God. Thank the Lord for them. You say, well, I think I might be as good as you. You might be, but more than likely because you thought that, you're not. But anyhow, learn how to just esteem them very highly for their work's sake. When you see a pastor, pastoral staff, these are men of God. These are men that have not just using their talents for the Lord or their gift for the Lord. And that's it. They're investing their lives into your lives. And I think, hold them up. Hold them, esteem them highly, and take your pastor and hold them up there. And that means you kind of remember the birthdays and the anniversaries that are there and all opportunities that you have there. Notes are always appreciated by a pastor when they would come in. And by the way, what goes for the pastor's wife as well. Wow, what an opportunity that your pastor's wife is having this prayer time, prayer walk with the ladies. What a great time just to kind of get some ladies together and do something special again. But it's just that kind of thing. It just kind of encourages them. It's kind of like, attaboy, it's keep on going. We're all for you. We're behind you. We love you. We thank God for you. And we're praying for you. And every pastor needs the prayers of his people all the time. And so to be able to hold them up and esteem them highly, not that I'm trying to worship them, not that at all, but that I respect you as the man of God that God has here and has done this magnificent work for his glory. And by the grace of God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to serve God with you. And I'll even serve you to help out in the ministry. And I think, Lord, help us in every aspect to do as we ought to for the Lord. Hold your finger here and look over in the book of Proverbs chapter 3 for a moment. In the book of Proverbs in chapter 3, actually I just happened to see this verse this afternoon. I stuck it in here just to mention it. In Proverbs chapter 3, notice verse 27. It's a good verse to underline in your Bible and put a star by it, what I did on my margin. But verse 27 of chapter 3 of Proverbs says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Hey, you've got the ability to be a blessing to someone. Do it. Be a blessing. It doesn't hurt to just kind of slip something in for a man of God, these men that are serving the Lord and serving here, and your pastor and caring for him and the pastor's wife and the pastor's children and their families. And I think it's just a wonderful time to honor the Lord. So as the Bible says, we should honor the pastor. And a second thing I'd say, we should submit to the pastor. Look back in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I told you this was the message I couldn't preach. And you might be thinking right now, well, I just assume you shouldn't preach it, but I could preach it, and I'm going to preach it. And so it is. But it's something that is good that most pastors can't get up and talk about for it, but I just want to share these thoughts with you. They're all in the Bible anyhow. Hebrews 13. You've seen it and read it if you've read through the scripture. Look in verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. As he says, we have a responsibility of following the faith of our pastor. We think about some of the projects and the work that's being done in a church like this, and you all have got all kind of things going on. And some of you stop and think, I don't think we should do that. I don't think we could go. Hey, the good thing is you don't have to. All you have to do is follow the faith of your pastor. in the work that he does. And the word follow there is the word mimetai, where we get our English word mimic. So just mimic the faith of your pastor. Follow him as he follows the Lord, and that's what he's doing. So I think the responsibility of a pastor then is to lead the people, and we people then, members of a congregation, have the responsibility to obey and to submit to the pastor according to the scriptures. And we all know what submission is. It's nothing new. In fact, for some of us men, our life verse is, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So, I mean, you know, I'm just kidding. But wives have that respect. And we know about submission, and it's a good thing. Children submit to their parents as well. We submit to the higher authorities, as the Bible says, and submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake in 1 Peter 2:3. We understand that. But we teach our young people, children, obey your parents the Lord, for this is right in Ephesians 6:1. But inherent with being the pastor of a church is the responsibility of ruling a church, leading the church for God's glory. Not always easy, but we have the responsibility. Look down in verse 17 where God says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for this is unprofitable for you. So we have that aspect and idea. I want to submit to my pastor. I want to submit to his staff. I want to be able to follow God as they're following the Lord, and I follow these men. It kind of brings it down to reality where I can see where we're going and doing the right thing. So we have the responsibility of ruling. That's not to be misunderstood as dictatorial in any way or being unkind, because the scriptures teach us that the pastor is that servant leader from 1 Peter 5 verses 1 through 5. So we know he's a servant leader. Your pastor is a perfect illustration of a servant leader. But how sad it is when some pastors, and thankfully not yours, and we didn't at Fairfax either, but how some pastors abdicate the position of pastor and turn it over to some deacons or some other staff or some other men in the church or trustees or some other group or the powerful group in the church or those that have it all and turn over and don't. But it's wonderful when a man of God can lead the church family and lead and rule over them to be able to help them and keep us all together going the same direction. That's the thing. I mean, to be able to have us all going in the same place in the same direction. And I've always said that when you're a pastor, you wind up oftentimes pastoring other leaders. In Fairfax, we did the same thing. We had all leaders in our church. And it's really a leader leading leaders. And all leaders know what it's about. Before you ever became a leader, you're a follower. And to be a good follower, you have potential being a good leader. But if you're not a good follower, you'll never be a good leader. Never. It just doesn't work that way. So I have some positions where I may be leading. I have other positions where I've worked and served on different boards that were out there, and I'm a follower. And it's easy to be a follower because I know as a leader that what I expect of followers, and so I want to be a good follower when I'm following someone else. Or when I'm leading, I would expect that of someone else. But as a pastor, he has that responsibility to rule over the people and obeying and submitting. When it came time to being in the military, that was easy. If somebody had more stripes on their sleeve than you did, or more brass or silver up on their shoulders, or more eagles or stars up there on their shoulders, that simply meant you did what they wanted done. You submitted to them easily. And we pastors and staff, they don't carry stars around on their shoulders there. They've got some up in heaven, but they don't carry them around their shoulders here on earth. But we're to follow them and submit to them in every way. So in submitting ourselves doesn't mean that you have to agree with everything the leader does. I mean, after all, have you wives always agreed 100% with everything your husband asked you to do? Is there one of you that will be honest tonight? Just one in the whole group? If I can find two, I'll spare the whole crowd. No. Hey, look. Hey, sure. There are plenty of times when you don't agree with your husband or something. I mean, it's like, but you submit. You still do it because that's a position. It's like driving down here on Interstate 14 or whatever you call it, Highway 14 or the 14, I think is what you do. But you're going on 14 and you're flying along there and all of a sudden you see this guy with these Christmas lights on in the car behind you, and they're red and blue and just kind of flashing around, and you think, well, aren't they pretty tonight as you're going along at 70 in a 55 zone, and finally he pulls you over. But when he pulls you over, you don't say, Listen here, mister. Who do you think you are having those bright lights in my eyes like that? I don't appreciate that. There's something about it. You automatically submit to him. Does that make him better than you? It probably makes him more obedient than you, but doesn't make him necessarily better than you. But you submit. And when it comes to leadership in a church, there's a submission aspect there that we submit to because it's the right thing to be able to do by God. So I want to obey. I want to submit in every way that I can to this man that someday Pastor Chapel will have to stand before God and give an account of you to the Lord. That's a horrendous job, one that no one in their right mind would really want for themselves. I mean, accountability, that's a big one. And that's why it's important that we keep following our leader as he leads us forward so that he might be able to do it with joy and not grief in any way at all. So we submit ourselves and we do it. And you say, suppose you disagree with something. Then here's what you do. You submit. You just submit. That's what the idea of submission means. It's as Linsky in his commentary in Hebrews said, one submits or yields when he has a contrary opinion. Doesn't mean you have to agree with everything, but you submit your opinion to his opinion and follow. That's the way you do it. That's just the way leadership is. That's the way followership is. And that's the way you get the work of the Lord done. And so I would also suggest and highly suggest to all of us, a lot of times I found when I was a pastor, that there were decisions I had to make, things I had to do with staff and or deacons that were difficult. Sometimes I had to let a staff member or a deacon go, relieve them of their duties, and they're gone. Other times, some staff or deacons volunteered to go. And sometimes you deal with difficult situations with a problem in a church that as a pastor you're going through. And many times, as a pastor, you can't tell everyone what's happening and why this took place and what's going on, because you don't want to contribute to the gossip that might be out there and going on. That's why I've always thought people follow a pastor. They listen to him preach the word of God. They listen to him give them the gospel. Their children get saved. Maybe they got saved from his ministry as well. They hear him teach the word of God. But some little thing comes up they may disagree with, and they just kind of, the devil takes it, blows it out of proportion, and it can become a big deal to someone. Well, if something really bothers you, you go. The Bible says you go to the person by yourself and talk to them. You don't go to someone else and say, hey, did you hear what they just did? Do you agree with what they're doing now? Do you think that's the right way to do it? Do you think that's the best color? Personally, I'm not sure I like this brown, tan every place you look. I like reds and blues. But do you think that? And you submit. You follow. You do it. And I say, I've always wanted to be nice if some people would just kind of follow along and say, you know what? Maybe the pastor knows something we don't know. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. And that's just a nice thing to do. That's something you always kind of wish people would do and give you that respect that is there as well, because it's a right thing to be able to do. Now, look with me, if you would, over in the book of Proverbs and chapter 25 for a moment. Proverbs chapter 25. The book of Proverbs has, as we know, a lot of wonderful thoughts and wise sayings in there for all of us. In the book of Proverbs, say, well, now, what do you do if someone ever came to you and shared with you something they disagreed about? Let me tell you, first of all, what that's called. Gossip. And so when someone's telling you, you know, I'm not sure I agree. I'm not sure I, and it's gossip. If you don't agree with something, you can go to a person, but you can't go to somebody else with it. Say, well, it happens. And some good people will may bring those thoughts to me. What do you do if someone comes and shares with you? I just want to share with you a prayer request. I want to share with you a burden on my heart. and they start running their mouths. And Sister Flapjaw's just over there letting it go. And old Brother Concern, he's over there letting it run his mouth as well. All that goes on. What do you do? Let me show you what God said in Proverbs 25, verse 23. A good verse to underline. The north wind driveth away rain. So doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. Now, let's just say you came up, and just for illustration's sake, you came up to tell me something you disagreed with Brother Furso about. Now, I can't imagine that happening, but let's just pretend that there's something there you disagreed about. And you start telling me that. What does that verse tell me that I should do to counteract gossip? I should kind of, how they do it, and you start looking like the tiger or something like that. You let them know. So they're thinking, I think I'll go talk to someone else. But I think the best thing to do is just to kind of keep quiet and don't say a word. The Bible tells us, in the north wind driveth away the rain, but so doth the angry countenance, an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. You just eliminate it. You stay busy in serving God and get rid of it in every way. The Bible tells us God hates the person that sows discord among brethren. So the Bible tells us we are to honor, esteem, and submit to our pastor. And everyone should look for opportunities of being a blessing and encouragement to the pastor and his wife and his children and his staff, that working together for God's glory to get the work and ministry of our Lord completed. There's a lot of work to be done before Jesus Christ comes back. And so what our responsibility is, Lord, we're here together. You brought us together. You made us a team. We are one body in Jesus Christ. It is a large body for sure, but you are one body in Jesus Christ. And God gives you the responsibility of working together as one till Jesus Christ comes back to take us home. And that's a blessing. Hey, it's fun when you can get involved in something as exciting as Lancaster Baptist Church. It's exciting to be a part of a ministry where you've got men of God that love the Lord, that are serving the Lord and giving their best and their all, to be able to follow them, to see souls get saved and see missions and world evangelism going forward for God, seeing more people called into the ministry and trained for the ministry and being able to serve the Lord, and knowing that, hey, my tithes and offerings are going to worthy causes. My faith promise is going to help us start more churches around the world. And what a privilege to work together for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say, hey, God, thank you. Thank you for giving us men of God to be able to lead us. Thank you, Lord, for our pastor and his wife, and putting them in this responsible place to lead us for the glory of God. Thank you, Lord, for the men and women that are sharing their hearts and their lives with us and teaching us and training us so that we in turn can help other people to grow in the Lord. And for all of us tonight, let us all say, Lord, by the grace of God, I'm going to submit myself. I'm going to esteem my pastor for his work's sake. Praise God for what the Lord has done for him and through him. I'm going to hold him up in prayer. I'm going to pray for his health. I'm going to pray for his family. I'm going to pray God will give him wisdom as he leads us and makes the decisions to direct us. I'm going to pray, Lord, that you'll use him in every way. Give him the word to feed my soul when he preaches the word of God. But to pray for him and to love them and hold him up highly in esteem for the Lord Jesus Christ, for himself, for his wife, and for his staff. Pray for these men. Hold them up. Encourage them. Do what you can. Write your note. Thank them for it. Pat them on the back. Do what you can. Give them the chocolate chip cookies. Anything. That's the main thing, by the way. But to do the things that kind of help and be a blessing to others in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I think the Lord has given you this wonderful family to be able to faithfully serve our Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's no question, as we sit here and enjoy the blessings of this church family, Satan is working overtime. This world is a minefield. Lancaster is a minefield. And the devil is doing everything he can to destroy you, to destroy you, to stop you, to hinder you, to throw a curve to you. He can't stand what's going on in Lancaster and around the world from it. But by the grace of God, we're on a team that's going to count for Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, I'm part of the body. And by the grace of God, I'm going to follow my leader as he's following my wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to follow my leader, my pastor, and the pastoral staff. I'm going to follow these men of God. We're going to get the job done so that when Jesus comes back, he might say, "Well done, thou good and faithful church. You followed my will. You did all that you could for me, and I thank you for it." Won't it be nice when Jesus comes and we've given our best for our Lord? Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for our time together tonight. And thank you, Lord, for the joy that's all of ours to be able to serve thee. And Father, I do pray. I pray with all of my heart that you'll bless every member here to be that faithful servant submitted to thee, yielded to thee in every way. Lord, may all of us just have that heart we need for thee, for our pastor, for our church family, for our staff, that we'll work together till Jesus comes and pray your blessings upon our lives. Lord, help us to be faithful and remain faithful till our Savior comes. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for being a growing Christian and for joining us for today's message. To find out more about Lancaster Baptist Church or about Pastor Paul Chapel, go to lancasterbaptist.org or paulchapel.com.